So now that we've understood what is state transition method and how does customer experience design work with that, let's understand what is state transaction diagram. Talking about state transaction diagrams, what is a state transaction diagram is defined as object states, transition guards, and actions. What are we doing? Is they are useful? How are they useful? Describing an object's behavior across all use cases. That means every situation, I am trying to describe how the object will behave. So, trace transaction diagrams would not only define the object state, what is the state of the variety objects, what are the transactions that are leading to that state, what are the guards or the constraints, and finally, what are the actions. However, they are not suitable, so when I can use them for describing the object's behavior across all users, I cannot use them for describing collaboration between the object that can cause the transaction. So if there is some sort of collaboration that is happening that can cause the transaction, I will not talk about that. I will just talk about what is the transaction that is causing the change of state in a state transition diagram. Also, common tool for object-oriented modeling and a formal definition of behavior. So when you want to formally define a behavior of an object, you can use a state transaction diagram, and also when you're doing a more of a object-oriented modeling approach for your system. What is further about a state transaction diagram? They use a finite state machine to define an object state and how events can cause transitions between them. So I have to have finite state. That means I have to know what is the definite state going to be for the machine, or sorry, for the object to identify what are the events that can cause the transition from one state to another state. Also, finite state machine is how, the number of states that actually the object can go into. So if we go back to the image that we had earlier, now you see for the account, it can either be active, it can either be dormant, it can be suspended, or it is actually closed. So these are the different finite states for the account, and where account will be my object. A state transaction can help identify what objects, what events should occur, and their impact on the object. So once I know the finite states of the object, I can decide what events can occur that can cause the change of the state for those objects. And I can also understand when I end up to find the different kind of events, I can also understand their impact on the object. One significant disadvantage that is mentioned over here is that state transaction is that identifying all possible becomes impractical in larger system. So the bank account is a very small system, but when you go into organizations and you look at the various systems there, all possible states of the system becomes very difficult to identify. That means even for your laptop, it can be either be in sleep mode, it can be in hibernate mode, it can be on, off. There are so many states that it can be in. So this, when things like this happen, it can lead to a state explosion problem, making state diagrams too complex for practical use. That means if I have to list down all the states of the, like I said over here, infinite state machine, if I do have so many different states, it will be very difficult for me to list down the states. And even more, what difficult it becomes is to identify every event that causes a change in the state, or the possible events that can occur and impact the change of state. So this machine receives events from the outside world, and each event can cause a machine to transition from one state to another. So in progress, empty, squirt content plus capacity full, squirt content less than capacity, break broken, cap sealed. When it's full, I cap it, I seal it. Something happened in the middle, it got broken, I cannot fill the capacity to full. So these are definite states where my states are empty, full, broken, or sealed. When to use state transaction diagram? State models are useful for describing the behavior of a single object and are formal enough for tools to execute them. So when my state models can be described the behavior of the object and we have it's formal enough to execute them, that means I can actually put them on a pen and paper. State models are not suitable for describing the behavior of multiple objects or multiple behaviors of single object. For cases involving multiple objects, interaction diagrams or activity diagrams should use. We have studied activity diagrams in the past, so we will need to get into that when I have multiple objects. But when I have single objects, I will want to use a state transition diagram. Drawing state diagrams for multiple objects may not be intuitive for some individuals. In these cases, a single state diagram for the entire process or activity diagram can be used to define the basic behavior and then split across multiple objects. So what I can do is, in case I cannot directly, when it comes to multiple objects and it becomes difficult or lack of experience can lead to business analysts not being able to draw the state diagram, what you can do is you can use a process diagram, process model or an activity diagram, list out all the objects and the basic macro level understanding of the entire process, and then what you can do is use state diagrams to for each object that is part of the system and help identify what is the basic behavior and how do you want things to behave. So four parts of the state transaction model is, so my state of process is withdrawing money from the ATM, states that the software might get open, close or sufficient or insufficient funds. So first try, states that the software might get, software is open, close or sufficient, insufficient for first try. Transition from one state to another is the arrow. Events that origin a transition like closing a file or withdrawing money, incorrect PIN. So I would give that with a box. Actions that result from a transition are error message or being given the cash, which is access granted or money withdrawn or access denied in case of incorrect PIN. For a given state, one event origins only one action, but then that same event from a different state might origin a different action and a different end state. So for any given state, that means suppose it is open, first try, I have incorrect PIN, so I cannot access the system. Second try, I have correct PIN, but I have insufficient funds in the account. So that's what it means, that the same event from a different state might origin a different action and a different end state. State transaction diagrams and state transaction tables. State transaction diagrams and state transaction tables are two ways to represent a state or represent or design state transactions in system modeling. So now let's understand what is the difference between the diagram and the table. What does the diagram tell me? States are showed in box text and transitions are represented by arrows. So this box text is my state and these show the transactions. So even this becomes a state, are also called state chart or state graph. So state transaction diagram, if someone says state chart or a state graph, it implies the same thing. Useful in identifying valid transitions, that what are the valid transactions that will cause the change of state. Shows the flow of events and changes in the state of the system. So this much before the account opening was doing exactly that. What is a transaction and what is the state that it is causing. Useful for describing the behavior of individual objects over the full set of use cases that affect those objects. Like I said, we spoke earlier, we can have an activity diagram. In case of multiple objects, I can have an activity diagram which gives me the overall process And then when I break it down into state diagrams for the individual objects, for every object, I can identify all possible use cases that can affect those objects. And we saw that when we were talking about basically depositing your bank at the back counter during the in the mall. State transaction diagram. So this is what we spoke about. So for ATM withdrawal, we start first try incorrect pin, second try incorrect pin, third try incorrect pin, account blocked. Second try correct pin, access granted, so he can withdraw the money. First try correct pin, again access granted, so that he can withdraw the money. Now that we studied what is a state transition diagram, now let's go on to understanding what is a state transition table. All states are listed on the left side and events are described on the top. So we will look at the table also. Each cell in the table represents the state of the system after the event has occurred. It is also called as the state table and useful in identifying invalid transitions. So in a trade transaction table that we can see over here, I would write all the possible, like it says, states are written on the left side and the events are described on the top. So what are my states? Start, first attempt, second attempt, third attempt, access granted or blocked. Correct pin is S5, so access granted. First attempt, access granted, second attempt, access granted, third attempt, access granted. Incorrect pin S2, first attempt, S3, second attempt, S4, third attempt, and S6, which is account blocked. So this helps me identify what are happening in each of the transitions. Each cell in the table represents the state of the event after the event has occurred. So this tells me what is the state. Incorrect pin S2, first attempt, S3, second attempt. And this is also called as a state useful in identifying invalid transactions. So in case there was an invalid transition, it would help me identify those. Successful identifying invalid transitions shows the relationship between the events and the resulting changes in the change in the state. So if we go over here, it shows what is the event. Event was incorrect pin at the first attempt. Again at the second attempt, which is I can either have a valid pin or a invalid pin. Can be more efficient for a larger system as it avoids a state explosion problem that can occur with state transaction diagrams. So now with the state transaction table, with the diagram, we said if there are too many objects, we cannot list everything and the state object explosion occurs. But in this, I don't need to worry. It's a table. I can go on extending the table as much as I want for that matter. So this a state transition table where a diagram cannot help you with multiple objects, a table can help me with multiple objects. Advantage or disadvantages? Advantages, the testing technique will provide pictorial or tabular representation of the system, which will allow the tester to cover and understand the system behavior effectively. Disadvantage, the main and disadvantage of this testing technique is we cannot rely on it every time. For example, if the system is not finite, not in sequential order, this technique cannot be used. Understand, to use a state transition diagram, I need to know, have definite states. I cannot have states that I'm not worried about or aware about, rather. So I cannot use the technique in that cases. But if I have a finite, on a looking at an advantage point of view, if I have a finite number of states for that particular object, then I can use this very effectively to understand how the system is working, or is the system, what is the efficient way for the system behavior. The second point says, by using this technique, the tester can verify that all conditions are covered and the results are captured The other disadvantage is that you have to define all the possible states of a system. While this is all right for a small system, if it soon breaks down in larger system, as there is exponential progress in the number of states. So while using the state transition diagram, if I have a dynamic system that is evolving and the number of states are constantly changing, then and it's developing into a larger system, then it becomes difficult for me to cover all the possible states. And if I'm not able to cover all the possible states, the system is going to break down. Well, on the other side, as a testing technique, the tester can identify all the conditions are covered or not, and all the results are being captured or not. So I have all the conditions and corresponding results, and is it all being covered or not. But again, very suitable for something, a smaller system with definite states, and not something with larger systems. Syntax testing, also known as black box testing technique, that verifies the system input and is usually automated for generating a large number of results. So let's cover the second point before we go on. It ensures that both internal and external inputs conform to specific formats like user input data file formats and database schemas. So syntax testing is also in a way a black boxing technique, which what I do is, given all different inputs that are possible into the system, and this is mostly and generate all the possible outcomes to for the automated response to understand how the testing is performing. So it will tell me. So this will especially happen when I'm designing a technical system, that I might put in options and ensure, if I even have 10 options in my app, I will click all the 10 options to see what exactly is happening, what is not happening. Each and every part of the system would be tested with a click to understand whether it is working properly or not. So, and additionally, what I'll check is whether it's internal or external. That means maybe an external input is triggering an input, internal input, but is it giving the right format? Am I able to capture all the data in the backend? Are the file formats right? Are the database schemas right? Is the right data getting matched to the right schema? And so on. During syntax testing, we check the state transaction diagram has the correct and the appropriate information. So while I'm testing, I'll keep the state transaction diagram and see that when I click an online form for account opening, is it opening the right form? At the backend, is the data getting stored correctly? Is the state mainly changing from no account to an active account? Is it giving back the right account number that is possible? And I can check that with the state transaction diagram to ensure that it is correct and all the appropriate information is mentioned there. Three types of questions are asked while performing. Is it complete? Is it correct? Is it consistent? Is it all completing the entire system? Is it correctly doing it? Is it consistent for every time someone clicks on the option? Even if multiple people are clicking on the option, is it giving the correct input? Then domain expert testing. So right now we've looked at syntax testing. Let's go to domain expert testing. Domain testing is a software testing technique that involves selecting a small number of test cases from a large group of potential cases. Domain specific knowledge is often critical for effective domain testing in some application. This type of testing is a type of functional testing and evaluates applications inputs and output. So other than syntax testing, where I'm testing all the possible inputs and outputs, when it comes to domain testing, I will probably select a small number of potential problems that can happen or potential cases from a larger group. But I will select something that represents everything in the larger group of potential cases. The main thing about this is having enough domain knowledge about this. So if I'm testing the front end and the back end, I have to have enough knowledge for both of them to understand effectively or to effectively conduct domain testing. And functional testing and evaluates application inputs and outputs. So more of a functional testing kind of a thing to check if everything is working correctly. After syntax checking the state transition diagram, the second type of testing is domain expert testing. So obviously I will do the syntax checking first before I go on to the domain testing. To conduct domain expert testing, there are two options: find a domain expert or attempt to become one. So either you find a person who is expert in that domain. If you can't find the person, then you will have to gain enough knowledge that you can become the domain expert. During domain expert testing, again the questions are the same, which is it complete, is it correct, or is it consistent? Then we come to traceability testing. Traceability testing extremely important when I have to talk about require and test management tools. Why? Because it builds the links between your requirements and your test, allowing all the changes to be tracked. So traceability is nothing but you're basically tracing the links between your requirements and the test. So is the requirement giving the right output? Am I able to link it? Is what is traceability testing. Requirements management tools also make it easy to calculate requirement coverage metrics as traceability links test cases to requirements. That means I can manage what are the requirement metrics, what are the requirements that are listed down. So I will have enough traceability links to use the test cases as requirements to understand whether it is working correctly. The significance of traceability includes identifying the appropriate version of test cases and determining which test cases need updating, assisting with debugging by traffic tracing defects back to the corresponding version of the requirement. That means now what I'm doing is identifying the right test cases. Not only am I doing that, I'm also determining what test cases will need updating. Is there any test case that needs updating which is not working correctly? Is the traceability not working? Are there any defects that are not linking from the requirements to the cases, or what similarly? Traceability testing is a third type of testing after syntax testing and domain expert. His goal is to ensure consistency by tracing requirements to state transition diagrams and vice versa. Like I said, so I'm basically now linking my requirements matrix to my state transition diagram. So probably I will also in a larger system have a activity diagram and then a state transaction diagram, and then again going back from the state transaction to the requirements. Is it correctly? Are we able to trace and map each one of the requirements? Let's quickly summarize what we've studied in this chapter. Processes and system may function well on a typical day, but fail during unusual circumstances. So, what I want to do is ensure that this failure does not occur. To create a robust process, it is essential to identify as many possible scenarios as possible and design appropriate responses to each. That means if I want the process to be extremely robust, I have to identify all the objects and the behavior of all the objects in all situations and even in erratic situations, and then design a response to each one of them. One approach to studying and analyzing the dynamics of a business process or system is the object events method. That was one method that we studied, where we said everything is an object and events is your response to them. Another method of analyzing the dynamic aspects of a process is the state transition method. So in practice, the trains could be used to verify various previous analysis and can be limited to key objects. So I might not want to do a straight transaction method for all the objects. I might choose to do it only for certain key objects. State and transitions provide an opportunity to design an exceptional customer service experience and promote innovation in this field. Thank you.